Hey, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. Today I am with Sasha Dunnable of Intronaut shortly before their gig in Nashville, Tennessee. Sasha, thanks, man, for joining us today.
Thank you, John.
Hey, now, I've been reading about you, and apparently you've made this guitar. These are your creation.
That's true. I've made this guitar. This is my company, Dunnable Guitars.
Wow. Okay, let's hear all about it.
Well, this is sort of our current flagship model. It's the Yeti.
Oh, cool.
And it is a 25 and a half inch scale guitar. Let me turn this down here. So the 25 and a half inch scale, you know, we tune down. A lot of bands tune down, so that really helps with the string tension and note clarity and whatnot.
Sure.
This particular one is a little pimped out. I've made this for myself, so I kind of just went big.
Yeah.
But it's a flame maple top, pick guard from the same piece of wood, and then ebony fretboard, mahogany back and neck. We do these adjustable brass nuts in-house.
I've not like seen those.
Yeah, we just started making them.
Wow, very cool.
Bigsby, you know, they usually just have a regular tune-o-matic. And then these are Dunnable pickups. This is the Slugwolf set.
Oh, which reminds me, a lucky viewer actually is going to win some Dunnable pickups.
That's true.
Is it this model?
This model, actually, yeah. The ones we're giving away, I think, just have regular nickel covers on them. But these are just some funny ones I made.
Yeah, those are great. They look very angry. Look like an old radiator or something.
I think that's what they're called. I think they're called radiator covers. But
how cool, man! Do you have a tone control, or is it just one volume?
Just volume on this one. I like to keep it simple for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can always get a tone. You can do whatever you want on these things. You know,
man, that is so impressive. There's so many, you know, quote guitar builders that are just ordering parts and bolting them together. It's really cool to see somebody come up with their own design and carve it out of wood. You know?
Good
for you. So is this your number one?
This is my number one, yeah. And then I have another one over here.
Let me roadie for you. Oh, before you take that off, would you mind just hit a big old something on that?
Sure. Sure.
Let the people in the interwebs hear that thing.
It's a big old.
Awesome. Yeah, what do you tune to?
This is drop B.
Okay.
So it's like C sharp standard with a drop B.
We use
13 to 56. And yeah, with that slightly longer scale, you know, you get nice and tight tension.
Yeah, and we just saw you sound check with that guitar, and you were kind of bludgeoning it, and it's still in tune, which really is surprising with the Bigsby. You've got it really hunkered in nice.
I keep it pretty mellow on the Bigsby. I know if you hit it too hard, you might have some issues there, but yeah.
Sounds great, man. Okay, well, let me roadie for you. I'll get this guy over here.
Same model as another Yeti, and it's another one I made for myself, so I kind of went super deluxe on it.
Wow.
But it's a Sapele top. It's got some nice figure to it.
Yeah, beautiful.
With a walnut center and then a Sapele back too.
Wow.
Mahogany neck, lumen lay side dots, that brass nut again.
Very cool. Are these your pickups as well?
Yeah, these are Dunnable Direwolves, which is actually essentially the same pickup as the Slugwolf. This one came first, and this one has a screw bobbin and a slug bobbin.
Huh.
And so I just experimented to see what would happen if I just did two slug bobbins. Mm-hmm. And so the Slugwolf was born that way.
Cool.
Which is cool. On that one, the high end is a little bit like tamed a little bit. On this one, you get a little more like, you know, crisper like pick attack.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah.
So before you were building guitars, what guitars were you playing?
Gibson mostly.
Gibson with that volute, you have a little volute on the back of the neck. I thought like a 70s Gibson.
Exactly. Yeah. My old 77 Les Paul Custom was the only Gibson I ever owned that didn't break the headstock.
Right.
You know, or that I didn't break the headstock on.
So that's why you did the volute. I get it, man. That's very cool. So just touring with these two, that's all you?
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even change during the set. It's all.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I'm so impressed by that you're making these. That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
very
thanks,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so that covers the basics of guitars.
Yeah.
And amp wise, you're just rolling with this Boogie?
Yeah, it's a Mesa RA100, the Royal Atlantic 100. Oh, yeah. Sort of their take on like a British voiced amp. It's got EL 34s. And I think they discontinued it since then, but we've had these amps for like 3-4 years and we love them. Dave and I both use them. Just a big, mean amp with a simple circuit. It's like two channel essentially with real simple EQ.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Do you change channels in it or basically stay in one and get everything from?
Yeah, no, I use the clean and the dirty on the amp. And actually the dirty channel on these has like a boosted switch on it. So you can get like a clean, a sort of vintage dirt crunch kind of thing. Yeah. And then like full blown, you know, mayhem.
Yeah, it is out front. I mean, they sound gigantic.
Yeah.
It is like there used to be paint on this stage and it peeled it all off, you know?
Yeah, they're big dumb amps for sure.
Dumb amps, yeah. Totally. Well, that's simple enough. And do you carry backup or just assume the best?
I have a little the Mini, the Mark five or Mark 525.
Yeah.
That I just keep on hand for backup, but I've never had to use it.
Yeah.
This thing's solid.
The way you'll be sure to use it is if you leave it at home, or you usually didn't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you leave it at home, then you will need it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, very cool. That's simple enough. Let's talk about pedals.
Sure.
Okay, so Sasha, take me through your pedal board.
All right, so at the center of it all here is the OctaSwitch, the Carl Martin OctaSwitch. And basically what's happening is everything's kind of running through there, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing has 8 buttons on it, and basically with the click of one button, I can change the channel on the amp and put in or take out any pedals on the
board. Oh, very cool.
So I have them all kind of set. So like here I just have like the regular, just dry clean.
Yeah.
And then just regular delay with that verb.
Oh, cool.
You know, and then other stuff that just kind of comes in and out. And so then I come in here at this is the 95Q, the Dunlop Crybaby 95Q.
Cool, and you're running a quarter inch, none of that wireless nonsense for you.
No,
yeah.
I'm pretty stationary on stage, yeah. So that one is just the wah without you don't have to click it on or anything.
Cool. It's engaged as soon as you push down.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, that's a cool feature.
Yeah, for sure. And then this volume pedal, the Dunlop volume pedal, I actually use as an expression pedal for the Electro-Harmonix pitchfork there.
Oh yeah, cool.
And I do like whammy stuff with that.
Hey, would you mind showing us a crazy whammy thing?
Yeah, sure.
Not to put you on the spot, but we're going to put you on the spot.
Let's see if it's... There it is.
Oh, love that.
And then I have like a solo where I'm just like... You just do like real, I like the real slow, like Gilmore-y kind of like. Stuff like that. I don't know.
Right.
That was really lame.
Yeah, crazy space noises. Yeah. I love that. That's
great. It's the space noises, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the new MXR reverb pedal, which is really sick. I keep it on the pad setting just to get like real wet and spacey again. You know?
Yeah. That's a great pedal as well.
Yeah, definitely. The Way Huge Saucy Box.
Love that.
Which is kind of an always on thing. Kind of use it how a lot of people use a tube screamer, you know?
Right.
Just volume all the way up and drive most of the way down.
Yeah.
Just to like push the amp a little bit harder, I guess.
Yeah, and it seems like they give just a little bit of natural compression that's subtle, but like you feel it more than you hear it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for like just the metal stuff, you know?
Yeah, very cool.
Boss Noise Suppressor. This is probably the oldest pedal I own. I've had that since like 96.
Cool.
And it still
always
works
on.
Like a charm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always on the dirty channel, yeah.
Sure.
The Mesa Flux Drive. This is more of like a backup for if something goes wrong and I just need to be able to just click on dirty or not dirty.
Sure.
But it works great with the amp. Great pedal. The Eventide Time Factor, which is an excellent delay pedal. You know, we just have like one bank per song. So in between songs, I just switch to the song that we're playing and then, and then it's ready to go.
Cool. You know, I like the way you guys, it's funny in hearing you play, like so many people like leave verb and delay on all the time. And you guys, man, when it's dry, it is like dry, where you get that real precise percussive kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
But when you put it on, it's cool. It's cool the way you switch up like that.
Yeah, sure, yeah. The Super Ego, which doesn't really have a place in the set, but I kind of just have it on the board, like, because I want it to happen at some point.
What's
you know?
It do?
It's actually really cool. It's like, I don't know if you know the freeze pedal from Electro Harmonix, but like, So I think I have it on the set where, where you can kind of glissando in between notes and stuff. It does all kinds of funny sustaining things, you know?
Cool.
And then the Ditto X2 looper, which I use quite a bit in the set to kind of just make like chordy washes and stuff. And then you play riffs under them, or occasionally I try to do like harmonies, you know, like you play a riff and then harmonize over it, but it's super hard to get the one to line up. You know?
Right, not so very forgiving.
You gotta keep it pretty punk with that thing, you know?
Yeah, do you guys, you're playing with a click though, is your...
Yeah, our drummer plays to a click.
Yeah, because it seems like you guys are just like locked in there.
Yeah, it kind of helps things stay steady, and then we don't hear the click, we kind of just play to him.
Sure, but, yeah. Yeah, it was not moving. It was
for sure, yeah. Yeah, he likes it that
way. Cool. And then the final is...
The TC Voice Live 2, which we just use... you know, especially when we're not traveling with a sound guy, just to have like our effects, our vocal effects kind of dialed, you know, just the way we like them.
Sure.
You
know, cool.
Kind of just leave it to us, yeah. And it's a great, that's a great pedal for that.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, man, great meeting you. Thanks for the giveaway on your pickups. Can't wait to, some lucky fan will get those, and enjoy your never-ending tour.
For sure. Thanks.
Okay, now I'm with Dave Timnick. And he's going to tell me about his rig. Let's start with this guitar. I recognize this brand.
Yeah, it's Dunnable Guitars, the best of the best. This is a Yeti model, which I think he's actually playing as well.
Yeah.
Slightly different though. And this one's great. He made this one right before the tour. So I've been playing this one primarily on the tour.
Is that your number one?
It's my number one right now. I think eventually I'm going to have him make me kind of like my own custom one. It's got, you know, more exotic and just whatever, my dream guitar. But but as far as it plays and the weight and everything and the sound, it's incredible. So it's the main one for now. And then I got the...
Oh, hey, before you get to that one, I want to ask, is that a wood cover on
It's a wood cover on the pickups,
That's too cool. What kind of wood is this? Do you know?
I think it's a swamp ash, actually, this one. Yeah.
Wow.
I could be wrong about that. I probably should know. But
you just play the thing. Build it.
I just play the damn thing. Yeah. Exactly. But cool, this one's cool, man. I really like it.
Yeah, very cool. So okay, that's your number one, and your number two.
The number two is the first Dunnable guitar ever.
Oh really?
And that's the Yarnhawk. And you know, it's a plays kind of similarly. The weight on this one is a little bit better. This is a little heftier, but it's a great guitar. And I think that one's just straight mahogany.
Wow, man, it's interesting to see the development, because this one almost looks like kind of a primitive Rickenbacker almost.
Yeah,
that looks like its own thing.
Yeah, this was like the first one he did. Wow. So they've just been getting crazier and crazier since then, so.
Are these his own pickups, or are these something else?
I think these ones aren't his, because this was in here before he was winding his own pickups. So those, I believe, are bare knuckle pickups.
Oh, okay.
But they all have the Dunnable pickups in them now, so.
Yeah, very cool. All
Indeed.
Right, well, that's easy enough. Yeah. You know what, let me have you put that down.
Sure,
so if it breaks, it's not on me.
It's on me, gotcha.
Okay, very cool. Now let's look at your amp back here. Okay, so much like your bandmate, looks like you were rocking the Mesa.
Yeah, Royal Atlantic, all the way.
Tell me about it. What?
You know, before these, Sasha and I were both playing Laney's, and so we've kind of always had that like British style, like Marshall style EL34 tube sound. And you know, we liked the amps, we were playing fine, but at some point we just got connected with the Mesa guys and they invited us up to their to the factory to just check out all the ramps, and they were just coming out with this one at the time, and they had kind of done their homework on us a little bit and knew that this would be the kind of amp we'd be into playing. So they let us try a couple out and we just fell in love with them. Yeah. And we've been playing them ever since.
Very cool.
Yeah, they're just, it's, I never will need another amp.
They are really, just in hearing you guys, they are so warm and big, but defined, you know?
Absolutely. It,
yeah, sounds great. Or do you have a backup with you or?
No, don't actually.
There's an optimist. Yeah. Good for you.
Well,
man.
We have an extra amp that's like, Sasha's got the little like Mark 24 or something, you know? Yeah. That wouldn't really cut it like these do, but we just don't have an extra one.
Yeah.
We're poor.
Yeah.
Starving musicians, so tough out there.
All right. Well, good for you, man. One great amp and a lot of optimism. That's good, man.
There you go.
Well, hey, let's talk about your pedals.
Yeah. Well, I got, first and foremost, the pedal I use probably the most is right here, the Eventide Time Factor. And that's my primary delay pedal. It's amazing. It's got like 100 presets in it. I can have two different delays at the same time. You can create your own delays online and upload software into it. I don't really do any of that. That's kind of over my head. But you know, before this we were playing things like DL4s, like Line 6 stuff,
sure,
and Boss stuff, and those are all great, but ever since I got that pedal, there's no going back.
That's great.
Yeah, that's kind of like the main one, especially we do a lot of delay stuff where the delay times are very rhythmic.
Yeah.
And he'll be, his delay will be in a certain rhythm and mine will be in a different one. So it's really got to be the right balance and blend.
Right.
So that's the one. And then I've also got over here another delay pedal from our buddies at Dunlop, Way Huge, MXR. And that's the Echo Push. That's just an analog delay. And I run that one out in front of the amp, whereas the Eventide I keep in the effects loop to get
cool,
kind of cleaner sound. So I use the Echo Push for more kind of
spacey,
ambient,
crazy,
spacey stuff, you know, lots of like sound warbles and whatnot. Great pedal. Right next to that one, I've got the Mesa Clean Boost pedal, and I leave that one on most of the time. It's at the end of my chain as opposed to the beginning, just because, you know, there's a few things it's running through and the signal kind of gets a little weak. So I just kind of leave that on, and you can really hear a difference if you A/B. It doesn't add, I don't add any EQ to it or anything, but it just has a little more, you know, a little more balls, I guess you could say.
Sure,
So I leave that one on, and then I got the ring thing over here, the Electro Harmonix. Don't use it too much yet. Planning on using it more, just still kind of experimenting with it. It does all kinds of ring modulation and pitch shifting and tremolo and any combinations thereof. So it's one of those things where you got to really sit down and spend some time, you know, twiddling knobs before you can find anything find anything useful. I got a Boss NS2 noise suppressor. I use that maybe like 1% of the time, just when there's little stops where I don't want any sound coming from the amp.
Right, man. When you guys stop, it's like quiet.
Yeah, and
which
when
is
we
the point.
before we had those, like when we stop, you would just hear like woo, because we're kind of loud, you know. So you get feedback. So I use that when I need to. And then over here, I've got another pedal from the Dunlop MXR Way Huge guys, and that's the Il Torino Overdrive. It's cool. It can be like a boost pedal or an overdrive pedal. I use it every now and then as an overdrive pedal, just kind of get a different gain stage in there.
Yeah.
And then Sasha and I are both using these TC Voice Live Play boxes. We just played, you know, sometimes we're playing a really big show with like a killer sound guy and he's gonna dial in the right amount of everything, and sometimes we're playing with some guy that's just, you know, not gonna be doing anything for us, so
pushing up faders,
so exactly
them,
so and these we kind of experimented with them, and you're just dialing in a little bit of reverb and a little bit of echo and finding the kind of sound we want. And so we just thought, you know, make it easier for us and for the sound guy to just have our effects for our vocals already dialed in. And you can save a bunch of things in there too. Maybe by the time we record another album, we might have like different vocal effects for different parts of songs. But right now we just have it set to one thing, you know?
And yeah.
It's pretty, the newest pedal on all of our boards, so.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I was saying, you guys, you and Sasha are like the Everly Brothers of metal. You've got that really tight harmony thing. It's
Thank
very
you.
Cool, man. It's a cool bit of musicality that, you know, that, cool to see it in right. that genre.
It took a lot of work. It was a little rough around the edges when we first started doing it. So
yeah, like harmonies like that, I mean, that really does take work. Yeah. I think that's why people don't do it.
Plus, it's just hard. You know, you really got to be able to hear the right balance of everything that you need on stage.
Yeah.
We learned that the hard way right off the bat. You know, we thought, okay, well, we can sing these parts. We do it at practice together, and it's all fine. And then you get to a show, and you kind of have a shitty mix, and all of a sudden, you can't hear your own vocals, or you can't hear your guitar or something, and that's all it takes to just make you sound awful.
And you guys are loud.
We're loud. We're loud.
Man.
We're not a church band.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Good luck on the never-ending tour. All right, now we are with Joe Lester. Joe, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Tell me about, and this is the only bass you're rolling with, right?
That's correct.
Let's hear all about it.
Well, this is my handmade, left-handed, five-string fretless Zaun Legacy Elite, which is basically the bass of my dreams. I'm left-handed, and that makes shopping for a bass damn near impossible.
Right.
And so I connected with Joe Zaun years ago, and I expressed to him all the things that I was looking for in a bass, specifically attributes that benefit fretless, which is the only style that I play in Intronaut.
Cool.
And Zaun really lends itself towards beautiful, amazing fretless tone with the materials they use, like a proprietary carbon fiber blend for the neck.
Oh, cool.
Pheno wood, phenolically heat and pressure treated wood for the fingerboard. Just incredible materials, incredible bright tone.
Awesome. So were you an upright guy before this?
I actually was. I went to school in the year 2000 for jazz and for upright, and that was really my focus for 4 years, and I continued to get a gig on upright playing jazz long after that.
Yeah, it seems like that's your background. That's so cool, man. Very, very cool. So he just made this to order. Did you tell him specifically everything you wanted?
Every single thing. We probably had 4 or 5 separate phone conversations, each progressively in more and more depth about what sound attributes and what physical, visual attributes and just every little aspect of the instrument.
Cool, man. And so what are you tuned to? Everybody else is dropped down.
Everyone else is tuned to C sharp drop B.
Yeah.
I'm just in standard B through G five string tuning.
Right.
So I have the same low note as them, which is valuable for playing all these low songs.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm in standard tuning, which is how I prefer to think about harmonies. No matter what they tune to, I'll play to the chord that they're ultimately playing.
Yeah. You know? So you're between the dots a lot of the night.
Sometimes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Good for you. Yeah. That's real music, man. Hey, now let's hear about your amp rig. What are you running?
Well, right now, what I'm running for a head is the Aguilar DB751, which is just an incredible beast of a fucking tube head. It's a hybrid, so it's got a tube preamp and a MOSFET power section, and kind of gives you the best of both worlds because it's got a sort of low-end heaviness, fullness tube power that I had been craving.
Yeah.
But what it also has is a brilliant, complex range of mids and highs that I also crave. Not every bass player necessarily requires that for their tone to come across, but for this fretless to be lyrical and clear, you know, I really need those mids and highs.
Right, man. Because a lot of times, I mean, when you're stepping out front, it really cuts, man. It's cool.
And it takes a little help like this to cut through 2 full Mesa stacks.
Yeah, like a guy with flat wounds and the tone rolled off would not.
Would not fly. I have to do pretty much everything I can to achieve the brightest tone possible.
Yeah, and it's bright, but it's not brash and cuts really well. That's
in the
cool.
mix, it sits just right. You know, in isolation, it might almost seem brash, but ultimately, that's what sits correctly.
Yeah, it's funny, man, how like your personal tone. A lot of times, things I hear when I'm alone that I really love, when I put them in a band context, it doesn't work.
you almost have to compensate or overcompensate for highs or other frequencies that are going to be competed with by cymbals and distorted guitars and everything.
So, just finding your place. Well, you really have found your found your frequency, you know, in the whole mix. That's cool.
Thank you.
And you're running those two cabs?
And then I am running through the Ampeg Pro Neo series cabinets. I have 410s and 115, both with tweeters. Mm. And I'm just a fan of speaker size diversity.
Yeah.
You know, just to get the full complement of frequencies available. So I really dig this setup. I also dig the Neodymium speaker cones, which are lighter than normal. Hmm. They're almost disarmingly light compared to how they look, which is ideal for touring when you're playing 150, 200 shows a year. You know?
And you run direct out of the amp as well.
I do run direct. It actually has a pre and post option for the direct. So I always go post preamp, and that way the direct that I'm sending is the actual amp tone and not a more sterile direct sound going to the front.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've found it to be great, and I don't ever have sound guys asking to use a box. It always is good for them.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, very cool. Well, let's talk about your pedals.
Okay, sure. All right, well, I'll just sort of walk you through my signal chain here.
Yeah.
Right up front, I have a Crybaby bass wah, which is probably not the most consistently practical pedal for a bass player, but I found myself getting a lot of use out of it in this new album cycle, specifically with the intention of imitating some of the aspects of electronic sounds and electronic bass sounds, synthesized sounds.
And give us an example.
Basically just achieving some different parameters inside of a note, like so it's almost like a parameter on a synthesizer,
right.
Exactly. That's really sort of what I've been striving for with the use of this. Not solo applications, but almost like synth bass type applications.
Yeah, if I heard that in a track, I wouldn't know what it is. Yeah.
That's a good compliment.
Yeah.
And then
after
that, I got my tuner here. And
standard
then
of the industry.
Standard. And then here I've got my Source Audio SoundBlocks bass envelope filter, which it's actually an entire filter factory. I get some good kind of, let me switch that. Get some good sort of upward sounds. Save some other directional sort of sweep. And sometimes I'll mix this with the wah for some extra sort of synthiness.
Cool.
And then even a couple warbles in here.
Yeah, that kind of tremolo thing. Is that where you're getting that you're playing during sound check? Your tremolo bit was
exactly.
Cool.
I basically saved a LFO that was at the right speed to work like a Leslie tremolo
me.
On
That's
that
cool.
So after that one, I skip up here to my micro tubes. B7K, which is made by Dark Glass. And these are some of my favorite bass pedals right now. I'm completely in love with them. They're preamps and tube drive type pedals. And I actually sort of use mine a little differently from most bass players. I have it on all the time with the drive pretty much off. So it's really just a little kiss of extra boost, which I had been searching for forever, how to get in my fretless tone an additional bit of mid-rangey bite, almost like Chris Squire from Yes or something. He's like one of my favorites, and I just wanted a little bit of extra boost without any dirt. And so the best solution that I found is using this pedal in this way, although I'm actually quite excited to employ their new B7K Ultra, where they've separated the preamp from the drive. So in the future, I'll be able to use the preamp and still reserve the drive option instead of sort of wasting it for this application.
Yeah, cool.
And then after that bad boy, I'm running down here to this little pair. This is my full tone MOSFET bass drive overdrive, which is a really cool, fuzzy, dirty kind of drive pedal that I've had for a long time.
Sure.
And my only beef with it is that it didn't have a wet dry blend option.
It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing. And, and on bass, that can particularly lead to sort of a bottoming out of the low end. And in recording situation, that doesn't matter because you can preserve the direct and then blend that back in.
Right.
But I said to myself, how can I have to be able to do that live somehow. So I found this guy online. He makes pedals by hand under the name This One's Mine. And they're just nifty little problem-solving signal chain solution boxes. And what this one is a blendable loop.
Oh, wow, that's
so
cool.
So there's just an in and out, a send and a return. And this is the only pedal that I run in the loop.
Oh, wow.
But I can leave it at, you know, I probably never go past 40% dirty.
Yeah.
Because that's plenty on this woolly sounding thing.
Right.
And then that keeps all that low end in there no matter what.
Yeah.
And as just an added bonus, this knob on here is so giant that I adjust it with my shoe during the show all the time. I'll just be like, do I want to be a little dirtier? Yeah, I do. You know, I'll just give it a little kick.
What a cool design. So how long did you research online before you found that thing?
A good little bit. I definitely compared a lot of different stuff, and it really just sort of, I don't think I ever would have found him if it wasn't for just searching the exact usage that I was looking for, and then his pedal came up, and I said, who is this guy? You
know? Oh, cool.
So that was really cool, and that fixed my problem completely. And then after that one, I sneak back up here to my MXR bass DI. And this is a cool little pedal. It's like their version of a Sans amp or something.
Yeah.
And I just love the preamp on it. I leave the preamp on all the time. Once I got used to having it on, it just made my tone sound thin when it wasn't on. So I said, you're staying on.
Right.
But then it also has a separate drive.
Oh, cool.
That is almost like my middle gain stage. Just like our guitar players have three levels of dirt.
Yeah.
I have my cleanest, my middle, and then this is my full blow.
Yeah.
So I've sort of managed to achieve some layers there.
Cool.
And then lastly, this is my new Boss delay pedal.
Yeah, show a little bit of what you're doing with that. I heard some cool stuff.
Well, I get a lot of cool effects out of here. It definitely is useful for cool little just accents and stuff I sometimes use in conjunction with the wah.
Right.
Some sort of spacey effects.
Yeah.
And then I had to sort of find a new way to make outrageous space sounds, almost like capturing an endless feedback loop and making warbles and stuff, which is an intronaut move. We like to, we call it making cappuccino, you know, foaming the milk up.
Right.
But when I got this new pedal, I was trying to discover some new ways to make cappuccino on it, and they're definitely in there.
That's so cool. That's great. Well, hey, Joe, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck on your never-ending tour. Why don't you take us out with some crazy space noises to end this video?
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.